from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I wasn't always fully sure if this was going to happen. We have been working on this for probably, the last week and a half or so. I'm really happy that it did. Anytime you get a chance to talk to one of the most important athletes in Kansas City history, it is always an honor and a privilege. We are happy to be joined by the 13-time All-Star. He is a World Series champion. He also was the American League MVP in 1980. He is the first person to win a batting crown in three consecutive decades. He is in the Royals Hall of Fame. He also is in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. We are honored to be joined by George Brett. Our conversation with him was brought to you by Folds of Honor. I will let him tell you how he got involved with such a great organization and what they're doing.
There's a guy that I met, years ago. I played in a golf tournament with him. I think it was a Corn Ferry Tour or a Senior Tour event, and they had a little exhibition. It was Dan Rooney who started Folds of Honor, and then Gary Woodland, myself, and some general. And we were the only ones on the course, and I was walking with Dan, and he told me about this thing that he started, Folds of Honors. He's an ex-pilot in the Air Force, basically, he gave scholarships to fallen or disabled military veterans that, obviously were killed or got seriously wounded. And then lately, he's expanded that to first responders. And it's a great cause. A friend of mine owns a green company, artificial green company, and they decided to put an artificial green in someone's backyard in Parkville, Missouri last week. And I went over there for as they were doing it. And I met some people from Folds of Honor, and they're just wonderful, wonderful people. And met the family that the green was going in their backyard. A lovely, lovely, wife and son that was left behind. But it's just a feel good feeling when you do stuff like that. And I'm happy I did it. And anytime I can, my heart goes out to military people in all branches and the first responders of firemen, policemen and stuff like that. I just get so sad when something happens to one of those guys that I was very happy to be a part of that day.
George, the last time I saw you, it was at Union Station. It was to watch a documentary on your life and career. What is it like to sit there and watch someone try to kind of summarize your life in 90 minutes?
That was that MLB thing. You feel like you're going to your own funeral. I mean, it was strange. And, I watched Yogi Berra's documentary. They did that after he passed away. And I've seen a lot of those things. And friends of mine that I got to meet over the years. And I always watch, any show that they have. They're making one on Mike Schmidt this year. So that should be a good one, too. But it was a strange feeling. It really was. you know, to hear what other people have to say and to really open up about my life. You know, I don't think anybody knew the relationship I had with my father was that horrific, but I finally got that off my chest and I felt pretty good about that.
What kind of response have you heard from that? You're right. This was definitely a different side of you that I don't think a lot of people knew about. You know, they know about how great of a baseball player you were, but you did open up a lot about your family. To see your wife talk about how that has affected you, to hear other baseball people talk about that. Take us through kind of the emotions you feel in that process.
Well, I used to get real emotional talking about my family. I don't anymore. You know, I always get emotional talking about my brothers. We were all very, very close. My mother and I were very close. She was close to the rest of us. But, you know, my father, I don't think it just the two of us were ever together. I don't think I ever laughed. I was always scared that I would do something wrong and you know, pay the consequences. So it was weird. I woke up one morning about 3 years ago, Carrington, and I go, God, I must have had a really weird dream. But all of a sudden, I told my wife, I said, why am I so afraid of my dad? He passed away in 1992, for crying out loud. And I was still playing back then. And it was just a revelation that I had in the middle of the night. I don't know what I drank the night before, but I should have drank it a long time ago because I sure have felt a lot better ever since that morning.
Right now, we're talking to George Brett, one of the greatest baseball players in history. George, I love going to Vegas. When you go, give me a couple of restaurants that you love to go to.
I usually eat at the hotel. I don't go out on the strip. I go to a hotel and usually stay at an MGM property. I have a lot of points with them, you might say, and they take pretty good care of me. But any MGM property has great hotels. The one that I would probably stay away from is, well, if a guy comes up to you and offers you fresh crab legs from Alaska, don't take them.
No, you know what? That is one thing I've learned about you. It's funny. I was going to ask you about that podcast. How cool is it to see players that you had such a key role in their career full circle? Like Eric Hosmer right now, he's a father. He's having another kid.
God.
He's now the host of a podcast. He's now the old mentor to a lot of these younger baseball players. You recently did a podcast with him and Mike Moustakas. How cool was it to kind of be in that moment?
That was really a lot of fun. I mean, I knew those kids from the day they signed with the Royals to the day they left, and we're still good friends. And Eric went elsewhere to finish his career. Mike Moustakas went elsewhere to finish his career. And they were back in Kansas City for that 2015 reunion that they had at Union Station. They had it at Union Station. And I was there, and I think the next day I went and did a podcast with them and just reliving memories that I had with them. But I remember in 2013 when the Royals wanted me to become hitting coach, I told them I'd do it for a month. I ended up doing it for 2 months. And one of the reasons I quit, and it was kind of funny, I don't know if I brought it up in the podcast, but I know I've talked to them about it. One day I went to the cage and they were all waiting in one cage to hit before a game. And I saw Moose, and I said, come on, Moose, I'll get you. He said, no, I'm going to wait for Pedro. I said, come on, Haas, I'll get you. No, I'm going to wait for Pedro. Come on, Salvi, come on to my cage. I'll throw it to you. No, I'm going to wait for Pedro, and I quit the next day. You know, it was a lot of fun being their hitting coach, but I don't think we really hit it off that well. But now we can look back, laugh at it, and remain good friends. But we were not good friends when I was a hitting coach. I think they thought I was too tough on them.
Isn't that the whole thing, the whole give and take of being a player or coach? I'm sure you had coaches back in the day, and obviously you had Charlie Lau, who was very instrumental in your career, but I'm sure
Charlie,
you had pushback on guys.
Charlie was tough on me. Charlie was tough on me. He was really hard on me. If I wasn't doing things the way I should do, he didn't pat me on the back and said, oh, it's okay. He'd tell me to get my head out of my rear end and start doing it, you know, and yell at me. We'd go out and take batting practice at 3 o'clock on the road, 4 o'clock at home. And you know, if I wasn't doing it right, he would yell at me. So, you know, I don't mind being yelled at if I'm screwing up. And I remember one time there was an instance with Mike. It was kind of funny. Pedro and I were at one end of the dugout, and Mike hit probably the hardest ball he hit in a week. And it was a line drive right at the center fielder, his first at bat. Center fielder doesn't even move. He sticks his glove up, catches it. Mike comes back, throws his helmet, throws his batting gloves, puts a towel over his head in the other end of the dugout, just screaming bloody murder. And I go over and I go, Mike, what is your problem? You did your job. You hit the ball hard. That's all we ask. We want you to hit the ball hard. The more times you hit the ball hard, the more hits you're going to get. Relax. It's your first at bat. Relax. and he just got up, jumped down my throat like, yeah, all your hits always fell in, you know, and something like that. And that's when I knew my time was limited. I was the bad cop. Pedro Grifol was the good cop, and I lasted 2 months, and it was a fun 2 months, but I'd never been so happy in my life not to go to the ballpark the next day. I don't need that aggravation in my life at my age.
I want to ask you a couple of things that I've got the privilege to talk to Denny Matthews about over the last couple of weeks or so. Right now in Major League Baseball, there are only 10 hitters who are hitting over 300. When you played, it feels like it was 25, 30. You were obviously one of those individuals, won a batting title in three different decades. What does it say about baseball right now that there are so few players that are hitting over 300?
I can't even read a baseball article now. If I pulled up some article and they would talk about WR/4, I don't know what that means. I don't know who this war guy is. I don't know what the big thing now is OPS, I think, and on base percentage plus slugging. You know, to me, a base hit is a base hit. Back then, everybody strived to hit 300, and that's how you were measured. Nobody even cares about that number anymore. They care about launch angle, velo, exit velo, and oppo. Those are the three things you hear more about than anything. And I would just that's one of the reasons why I think Bobby Witt is such a good player, because he's hitting 340. He's hitting 340. And when you hit 340, guess what? You're going to drive in a lot of runs. What's he driven in? 70? And when you hit 340, guess what? You're going to score a lot of runs. I think he scored like 80. So he's been, let's say he's responsible for 150 runs. Why? Because he's putting the ball in play. He's getting on base. And when you get on base with a guy on second and two outs and you hit a measly single, guess what? Your average will go up. And you'll drive in a run. And when you're on second base and a guy gets a base hit, you can score. So to me, the game's left me a little bit. I was just in Cooperstown 2 weeks ago for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And I'm talking to the likes of Derek Jeter, and I'm talking to the likes of Mike Schmidt and Craig Biggio. That's who I sat and had dinner with on Sunday night. And believe me, they're losing the way baseball is played right now, they're losing some of the old-time players. Derek Jeter hasn't been retired that long, but the Mike Schmidts of the world and the Goose Gossages of the world and all those guys, they're losing that audience right now because of the way the game's played.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Right now, we're talking to George Brett, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. He is a three-time batting champion, a three-time silver slugger. He also is in the Hall of Fame. You mentioned just being at the Hall of Fame. The last thing I asked Denny was, I asked him, so there was a question after Willie Mays passed, and the question was, with Willie passing, who is now the greatest living Hall of Famer? I asked Denny this question because he, like you, is in the Hall of Fame. He said Sandy Koufax, and he also said you. I would ask you that question. You were just there. Who do you consider to be the greatest living Hall of Famer?
Well, I would say Sandy Koufax. Believe me, I would not put my name in that list. But I would say Sandy Koufax. God, we've lost so many Hall of Fame members in the last two or three years. You know, there's one guy that's not in the Hall of Fame yet that would probably get a lot of votes. Well, if Barry Bonds was in, you might say him, even with the controversy surrounding him. But the one guy that I would have to say would be Albert Pujols. I mean, that guy hit for average, hit for home runs, he did everything. He was a great player, and he amassed some unbelievable numbers in his career. So I would have to think he would be right up there. Yeah, that would be my guess. I would say Sandy Koufax would be number one, but the position player, I'd say Albert Pujols.
What is it like, and I'm guessing sometimes you have these moments where you have to pinch yourself a little bit. Like you mentioned being at the Hall of Fame, and you're sitting there, and Derek Jeter's right there, and Craig Biggio is there, and you guys are laughing, telling stories, drinking wine, having great meals. Just, do you ever kind of catch yourself in this moment about what your life is like?
Yeah, once in a while. It was interesting. Last year, Derek Jeter came up to, we were just talking, and he said, so where do we go now? And I said, well, we have a private dinner. We're walking into this big room, and we have a private dinner, just the Hall of Famers and the Commissioner of Baseball. And he said, so is there a seating arrangement? And I said, yeah, you're sitting with me and Schmitty and Robin Young. He said, oh, God, can I sit with you guys? Yeah, great, no problem. So this year I'm walking in, and Derek comes up to me, and he says, hey, am I sitting with you again? I go, yeah, we're going to sit together every year. Normally I sit with Mike Schmidt, Reggie Jackson, Robin Yount, used to sit with Tom Seaver a lot. Sandy Koufax was usually at our table. But now I got a new one. It was Mike Schmidt, me, Craig Biggio, and Derek. And Robin did not come this year. Robin Yount, I usually spend a lot of time with him there. He had shoulder surgery like 10 days before and wasn't feeling up to it. But yeah, it's just so much fun to sit around there and talk to those guys and see him. And I remember when I went in, Carrington, I was 45 years old, and I would walk in and I'd see Yogi Berra stand, usual, Ted Williams, and they were all probably in their 70s or whatever. Guess what? Now I'm 70. I'm 71. So I'm like the old guy. I'm one of the old guys there. So it's kind of a strange full circle for me to be one of the youngest guys in the Hall of Fame, now being one of the oldest.
I want to ask you present day questions about the Royals and Bobby Witt Jr. You talked about it a little bit. He now gets compared to you. People say that he is the best Royals player since Bobby Witt Jr. You've obviously seen him from the very beginning. I'm sure you guys have had some relationship over his time in Kansas City. What is it like to see him take that jump and become a superstar?
Really doesn't surprise me, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a five-tool guy. There's nothing he cannot do on the baseball field, plus playing a shortstop, the most demanding position on the field. It's just, I'm amazed every time I go to the ballpark. And, you know, we had Bo Jackson weekend about 3 weeks ago, and I made a comment, I never missed one of his at-bats. Well, I never miss one of Bobby's at-bats either. You know, I go to a lot of the games. Sometimes I leave early. But if Bobby Witt's coming up to bat in the bottom of the eighth inning in Kauffman Stadium, I'll stick around at least to watch him hit. He's an amazing athlete. He plays baseball, I think, the way I did. He runs everything out. He's always thinking about the next base. Obviously, I think he's a lot more talented than I am because of his speed and his arm, his accuracy, and the things that he can do, the power at such an early age. I didn't develop power till I was about 25, 26, but he's got power at 23. He had power last year at 22. But he's, in my opinion, one of the best players in baseball. And if the Royals can get hot, I know the last two games have been very disappointing, not only to me, but to the team and to the fans here in Kansas City, to lose two games the way we did to the Cubbies. But they got the White Sox coming up, and then they go to Detroit. They got to win the majority of those games, obviously, to get to put themselves in a chance. But if the Royals are in contention, they make the playoffs, I think Bobby Witt is a legitimate MVP candidate.
You mentioned this weekend.
Legitimate. I mean legitimate.
George, you mentioned this weekend against the Cubs. I'm just happy that the Royals matter. Like, I don't have to tell you how disappointing the last few years have been and how the Royals have been out of it for basically the entire year. I mean, we are heading into August, and if the playoffs started today, the Royals would be in the postseason. It's just exciting that every day, every game, every decision matters again for the Royals.
Yeah, last year was just a horrendous season for the whole team, you know, the whole organization. to win 56 games, lose 106. This year they've already won 57 and it's still July. I mean, that's one of the all-time great turnarounds in Major League Baseball history. Games do mean something. We're going to find out if these guys can play under pressure right now. And so far they've been able to do a pretty good job. But the schedules, you know, they got a not an easy week ahead of them. But after that, I mean, they start playing the Philadelphia Phillies. They play some teams that are definitely in contention. And we're going to have to see how they do against those guys. But it has been a lot more fun. The conversations with people that I have about baseball last year was poor Royals. This year, everybody is so pumped up. Friends of mine at the Hall of Fame were going crazy. God, what a turnaround. What did they do, you know? And you tell them that, hey, we got Lugo, we got Waka, we got Cole Reagans, you know, and all those three pitchers. And everybody wants to talk about Bobby Witt. The guy that I still like, and even though he's been struggling with his bat as of late, he is hitting the ball decent, not scalding it, but I love Mikel Garcia. I think this guy's a really, really good player. And right now, he's a little frustrated, I think, with his batting average and things. But, I mean, I would not give up on this guy. I would play him every single day and see what he can do. I think next year he's going to be a big breakout season for him. And is it Bobby Witt numbers? No, but I think it could be close.
I've got two more questions right now. We're talking to George Brett. The first question is, it's always cool to go to the stadium and in left field, you know, you see the Hall of Fame numbers. You see your number, Dick Houser, Frank White. One of these days, Salvador Perez's number is going to be up there right next to his. You mentioned the fact that you've been there for Hosmer and Moustakas from the very, very beginning. I mean, you probably met Salvador Perez when he was 16 years old, and even in his 30s, he's still one of the best and most important players in the game.
Yep, he is. He's unbelievable. Behind the plate, he's really good. He's having a great year offensively. And you know what? When you throw him at first base, he looks like he's been playing first base his whole life. I mean, this guy, the way Freddie Fermin's playing behind the plate, but we got a first baseman in Sasquatch. But you put Salvi out there to give Sasquatch a day off. I mean, you're not losing anything defensively. And yeah, I would be very surprised if Salvi's number's not retired by the time he ends his career in Kansas City. And there's talk right now. I mean, serious talk, and I think well-warranted talk about him going to Cooperstown, New York with the numbers that he's put up over his career.
George, I'm guessing that after Bobby Witt Jr. and people ask you the excitement about him and how he's playing and in the AL MVP conversation, I'm also guessing you get asked about the stadium a lot. There's still a lot of uncertainty about where the stadium's going to be. Are they going to renovate? Are they going to build downtown? Are they moving to Kansas? What are your thoughts on the stadium and us trying to get more clarity here over the next 6 to 8 months?
Well, I think clarity is what's missing right now, in all honesty. I mean, I know the state of Kansas has passed those star bonds, and I know there's some locations besides the one that they were talking about where the Kansas City Star building is. I talked to John Sherman once in a while about it. In fact, yesterday I talked to him. He was flying to New York today to talk to the commissioner of baseball about something. I don't know what, but he just said, yeah, they're just waiting and trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And hopefully by this fall, they'll make a decision. If you build a new ballpark, it's going to take two or three years. And I don't know when our lease is up, but I was real disappointed it didn't pass. I was kind of disappointed in my old teammate Frank White not jumping on board with it. But for whatever reasons that he might have had, I don't know all the logistics of what the tax dollars do for Jackson County. I live in Johnson County. But I think the Royals are going to be in Kansas City. I just don't know where. And as if moving from the K, I mean, God, I played every one of my games there. It's still a beautiful, beautiful stadium. I love going out there. And it's going to be a sad day if they do tear it down. It'll hurt me.
Growing up and going to Kauffman Stadium, and then, like, this season just kind of reminded me, you know, the fountains, the sounds, all of the things about the ballpark. It's just really cool to go to baseball games.
Yeah, I mean, I love the stadium. You know, that's not saying I wouldn't love the new stadium more. Wherever it was, I wouldn't love it more. But it's going to be a sad day if they end up moving there. It'll hurt me. It really will. I'll go out there when they get that bulldozer and they start hitting it. I'm sure I'll have a tear or two in mine because, you know, that's my life. That was were all the memories that I remember, all the great memories that I have as an adult, that all happened at Royal Stadium or on the road somewhere wearing a Royal uniform. So it'll be a sad day if they tear it down. But I'll tell you what, it'll be a joyous day when they move into a new one.
That is George Brett joining us on the show today. He was joining us on behalf of Folds of Honor. To learn more information about them or to donate to their incredible cause, be sure to visit foldsofhonor.org. George Brett is a three-time All-Star, a World Series champion. He won the American League MVP, a three-time batting champion in three separate decades. He is in the Royals Hall of Fame and also 98.2% of the vote in 1999. He is in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. George, it was truly an honor to have you on the show today. Thanks a lot for hopping on.
Well, thank you. You did your homework on me, too, didn't you?
A little bit. Thanks, George. Take care.
Go Royals.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.